John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, a passage we all know and love, and there is power in that word, power in the word of God. Well, hello there, Fred, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. My name is Joey Kroll on this Valentine's Day. How did we get here so quickly? I actually like to celebrate Valentine's Day the day after Valentine's Day, because that's when all the Valentine stuff is on sale for half off. I'm just kidding. Hey, Fred, it is so good to see you. Happy Thursday. Here we are. We are well into our week, rounding third, heading towards the weekend. And it is so good to catch up with you. Like I said, today, of course, is Valentine's Day. And early this morning, as my wife was heading out, I made sure last night, as she was sleeping, I went into her car. I kind of decorated the front seat, the steering wheel. I put nice little Valentine's Day stickers, peelies, I guess if you can call them, all over the windows, and some flowers in the front seat as well, just to really start her day off feeling like she is loved and appreciated. So we're actually going to celebrate our Valentine's Day tomorrow, since we just have a busy day with kids tonight, so be praying for us on that. But yeah, we're going to be celebrating our Valentine's Day tomorrow night. I'm so looking forward to that, and I pray that you are looking forward to it as well. Men, don't forget, it's Valentine's Day today. Let's be a friendly reminder here from Great News Radio. Hey, we are getting ready. I know we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now, getting ready for a special community-wide Bible study. Now, the Bible study is entitled The Merged Gospels. It will help you get more excited and more equipped in following Jesus. Now, again, I mentioned that it's going to be a community-wide Bible study. It's going to be at the Judah Christian School in Champaign. And it's going to be a 12-week Bible study. That's going to be happening on the second and fourth Thursday of every month, beginning on Thursday, April the 11th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And the cost is only $20, and that includes the big old 360-page book and all the materials that you need for the class. Now, again, it's going to be at the Judah Christian School starting Thursday night, April the 11th, from 6:30 to 8. Judah Christian School, by the way, is located at 908 North Prospect in Champaign. Hey, if you want to get more information, or if you want to register for our Bible study entitled The Merged Gospels, just give us a call at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, or you can get more information at our website, greatnewsradio.org. And I'm not sure if you have anything going on next Thursday night, but you're invited to a special Fellowship of Christian Athletes night at the Illini basketball game a week from tonight, Thursday the 21st, beginning at 5:30. And it's really neat because you're invited to be part of the pregame celebration as Illini, of course, takes on Penn State at the Assembly Hall. There's going to be tons of food, games, and testimonies, and an opportunity to shoot some hoops right there on the floor. And here's the neat thing. The singing men of GNN are actually going to be singing the national anthem at the beginning of the game at 7:15. So yeah, Fellowship of Christian Athletes night at the Illini basketball game a week from tonight. Kind of mark that down on your calendar or on your mental checklist. A week from tonight, with the pregame beginning at 5:30. That's where they're going to have, again, all the food, games, testimonies as well, an opportunity to shoot some hoop right there on the floor. Now, if you want to get more information or tickets for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes night at the Illini basketball game, just call 217-300-0084. Again, that's 217-300-0084. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful night of fellowship. Well, our devotion for today comes from the very first book and the very first chapter of the entire Bible. Oh, it's going to be good. From Genesis chapter 1, we're going to be focusing on that right after this, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
I come before you today, there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord.
Don Moen, and thank you, Lord. Hey, the Bible says it's a good thing to praise the Lord. Amen. Don Moen, and thank you, Lord. Right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio. Have you ever watched one of those crime TV shows that they have on TV nowadays, like CSI Miami or whatnot? The common thread between those shows is usually the suspense builds as the investigation comes to a standstill, because in the middle of the show, they're doing great, but all of a sudden they hit a brick wall where they're looking for that one last piece to solve the crime. But it's usually when they go through and revisit the crime scene and they notice something that was overlooked, like a piece of evidence that has been screaming out to everyone trying to be noticed, yet everyone seemed at the time to be blind and deaf to it. Well, friend, what if we lived in an environment in which someone intentionally left behind clues to tell you valuable information about who he is and what he's like, and he actually wanted to be found? Yeah, that's the God that we serve. And we see and look around us, just creation points right back at God. In Genesis chapter 1, we know the story of creation. It's been read a million times over. You probably remember it from Sunday school. But let me read the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. Evening came, and then morning, the first day." Picture that for a second. Imagine that for just one moment. The only mentionable presence other than God we see after the beginning was darkness. Formless. Void. I mean, let that reality steep into your mind for a second. Deadness. Emptiness. Lifelessness. That was the state before God continued. And all God had to do was just speak a word, and light came. Light obeyed. God spoke this world into existence. Let me tell you something. Really neat things happen when God speaks. Worlds are created. Back in John chapter 11, Lazarus, who was called out by Jesus to come forth out of his grave, came back to life. When Jesus was sleeping on the boat in the midst of the storm, his disciples woke him up and say, "Hey, don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus got up and told the wind and the waves to be still. Friend, when God speaks, things happen. God's transcendence, power, and authority are what commanded creation into existence. The very name used to describe him in the account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, which we just read, is Elohim. Elohim. And that's the common name of God in Hebrew that means mighty, powerful, and exceedingly great creator of all. Elohim, which is the common name of God in Hebrew, that means mighty, powerful, and exceedingly great creator of all. Man, Elohim. That's the name that describes the kind of God who speaks and the universe is born. The name to describe a God who owns everything in creation because he spoke it into being. Whew. Elohim. But that's in Genesis chapter 1. But have you ever noticed in Genesis chapter 2, we see again the retelling of the story of creation again here in Genesis chapter 2? And in verse 4, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." In this second account, we see Moses, who's the writer of Genesis, refer to God as the Lord God. Which was different because in Genesis chapter 1, it just said God, which translates to Elohim, which means, of course, the mighty, powerful, and exceedingly great creator of all. But in Genesis chapter 2, it refers to God as the Lord God. And this name is different from the first because this is the personal name of God, which can be translated to Yahweh. The personal name of God, Yahweh. So Moses refers to God as Elohim God, which is the mighty, powerful, and exceedingly great creator of all. And in Genesis chapter 2, he refers to the Yahweh God, which is the personal, intimate name of God. So can you personally think for a moment why Moses would want to give us two perspectives on the same creation story by referring to God into two distinct ways? Think about that for a second. What do you think he's trying to tell us about God? You know, when Moses uses the personal name of God, he is communicating something about him. While that we see God as powerful and authoritative in Genesis chapter 1, we see that in the same process of creating, God is personal and intimate in Genesis chapter 2. While he is separate and holy, he is also near and able to be known. Amen? Because in Genesis chapter 2, we get a little bit deeper in how he actually creates man. He just didn't speak man into existence, though he absolutely could have as Elohim. Instead, God put his hands into the dirt and formed, shaped, and knitted us together. Knitted man together with his fingers. And if that wasn't intimate enough, the Almighty lowered his head to the ground and met us face to face and breathed life into us. Close your eyes for a second. But don't if you're driving, by the way. But close your eyes. Can you imagine Adam's lungs inflating for the very first time into human history with the very breath of God giving him life? Do you see how intimate and close this Yahweh is, as described in Genesis chapter 2? It is true that as Elohim, God owns everything. All allegiance and worship is due to him because he is powerful and holy, set apart from all creation as the mighty creator. He has rights over us and we are accountable to him. But there is just this amazing truth that we miss so often because of our view of him stops there. Yes, because he is Elohim, we have to give him our all. But because he is Yahweh, the God who is near and compassionate with his people, we should want to give him our all. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey me." And some people think, boy, that's pretty authoritative. But I see that as the Yahweh God speaking to us. It is because of our love for him, we would want to obey him. Because our God is Elohim, we must give him all of our worship. But because he is Yahweh, oh, praise God, we gladly offer it, as nothing else could make us happier. Friend, as we celebrate Valentine's Day today with your spouse, maybe a significant other, but let's not forget that intimate Yahweh relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Let's not only give him our all because he commands it from us, but let's gladly give it up because he is our Yahweh God. He is near and able to be known. Amen and amen.
My name is Matthew. You might have seen me preaching and singing on these dusty streets. Just one of many who were following Jesus. We were all witness to miraculous feats. Maybe you just heard last week they took him. On Friday, my Lord was hung on a cross. It's been 3 days now and I feel so empty. It's Sunday morning and I feel so lost.
My name is Mary, my heart is heavy. I've cried so much I can't cry anymore. How could this happen? He was so gentle. I've never met a man like him before. Adored him, how I believed him. Such a sweet peace when he walked in the room. I washed his feet, oh, but lately I can't sleep. It's Sunday morning, think I'll visit his tomb.
My name is Peter, maybe they told you I had denied him. I'm sorry, it's true. He knew my weakness, still he forgave me. I stood up to the soldiers, there were only a few. But I felt his hand come to rest on my shoulder. He lowered my sword, is this what I've taught? That's when they took him, later they beat him. It's Sunday morning, I wish now I'd fall.
I am a Roman. I saw the wound in his side cut so deep. I have been stationed all night at his graveside. But it's Sunday morning and I fell asleep. There in the darkness, the earth shook and trembled. The tomb was found empty, the stone rolled away. On the path was a stranger. In the first light of Sunday, she asked him his name. She asked him his name.
My name is Jesus.
He said, my name is Jesus, and I have returned from the grave in fulfillment of my Father's plan.
I marched into
Yes, Mark Bishop, and My Name is Jesus. Amen and amen. He is alive. Fred, how are you? It is, of course, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. My name is Joey Kroll. Hey, great study today from Genesis chapter 1. And, of course, today is Valentine's Day as well. Don't forget, in the midst of focusing on your love for your spouse, let us not forget that the love of Jesus outweighs them all. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friend, have a blessed and wonderful Valentine's Day, and remember that you are salt and you are light. And you are loved beyond measure.